Hello, everyone. I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with Midwifery Business Consultation, and I have Barbara Harper here today with me. I know she's a lady that doesn't need too much introduction. She's very well known internationally as kind of the mother of water birth and has had many, many projects over the last 35 years. So, Barbara, if you can tell us a little bit about yourself and some of the exciting things you're working on.
Hi, Leslie. Thanks for asking me to talk about my business. My business is my passion, and my passion is water birth. My mission statement is that Water Birth International, the business that I founded in 1988, ensures that water birth will that water birth is an available option for all women. And with that mission statement, then I had to figure out a plan of action to make that vision statement true. So if I didn't want to put it in the future tense, I wanted to put it in the present tense. And I am firmly believing that when we stay in the here and now with a vision for the future, it's like folding time. It that the future comes to us. And Water Birth International is a good example of that. We filed as a nonprofit, got our 501c3 status in 1989, February of 1989. So I'm not doing the math right now, but that's quite a few years ago. So anyway, but I switched over to an LLC. I dropped the nonprofit in 2011. And the majority of the work was being done by one person, and that was me. However, I missed the days when I had board meetings and vision quests and a huge volunteer staff and producing conferences. We did conferences in 1996, 2000, 2004, 2007. And those were major world conferences where we would have 300, 400 people come to one place, whether it was a hotel or a conference center. And I started doing smaller conferences and taking it to different locations. So after 2009, I started going out to the world. And I'd always traveled. I'd always presented at different conferences around the world. And then it was me putting on a conference in Dubai in a hospital or Kuala Lumpur, China. And I started having groups in different countries that would sponsor me to come. And as a result, over these past 12 years, if you add it all together, I have taught in either medical schools, nursing schools, midwifery programs in 75 countries. And so it gives me a very unique perspective on how birth is run in both the institutional setting and in a country setting. So there's just an incredible amount of information that I've garnered through introducing the use of water for immersion for labor and birth into different settings, whether it's home, hospital, or birth centers. all around the world. And I've maintained a private practice of educating couples, sometimes attending their births over the last 30 years also. So the balance that it has taken to attend births, write professional articles, publish books, it's all part of the vision, because how can we achieve the ensuring that water birth be an available option if we don't, we have to look at it on every single level. The personal level, couple to couple,
yep, like you're
the
saying.
Institutional level, yep. And the international level. And I'm still dealing with having to, yesterday, okay? I did a 2-hour session on Zoom for about 30, I forget how many people came. I wasn't paying attention. It was from a hospital in Jerusalem. And I got the feedback this morning that it was great. You know, we want you to come here and supervise, sit in the corner and supervise our birth. And, you know, that would be a dream, an absolutely dream job, which I've done in lots and lots of places. So it even though I had the vision in 1985, it took about 3 to 4 years to build a coalition and put it out to the world. And then it's taken these past 30 some years to keep the dream alive. And that is on an absolute daily basis. Whatever it takes. And, you know, they being the predictors of change and the viewers of trends say that it only takes 18% of the population to create a 100th monkey. And I think that right now in 2021, the 100th monkey has been achieved for water birth, and now we have to achieve that for midwifery as a whole in the United States and birth centers also. It's a moment that has to be grabbed. You cannot ignore it. So if you're starting a business or you have an idea right now in 2021 that you want to open a birth center, there are enough resources to enact it and to be guided through the pitfalls of what I call the dissonance between passion and true business. Because business is always going to be business. And there are some principles, Leslie, that's why you work with people, to get them past that dissonance. Because somebody that has a vision and is a visionary like myself, you have to get real about carrying out the trash.
Yeah, well, I mean, the human capacity, I think you and I are very similar in that we've got wonderful ideas, and I'm so impressed every time I read your emails and updates and all the wonderful things. I'm like, you're one human being, and you're just as feisty as many people I know my age and can keep up with it all. But I think when you're so passionate about and the conviction is so strong, you figure out a way to make it happen. But like when you run a business, you already figured out you have to exchange your time and the projects. You've got to make a strategic plan and think like a business owner, because you are one human being.
Yes, and you are an infallible human being. You're not infallible. You have that passion mixed with your doubts and your incapabilities, because when a potential employee comes, if I'm hiring somebody for a job, I look at their resume, and of course the resume is glowing, and I do this and I do that, and this is my vision for the future. And then I ask them in the interview, what are you not willing to do? What are you not capable of doing? Because we have to know that side as well. And we have to know it in ourselves. What boundaries do I have for my time, my energy, my well-being? And I have learned the hard way. And so take my advice.
Well, and I think it's that simple. If they answer to you, I can do anything, that's a flag to me, because we're human. You're not being truthful. You're not recognizing your limitations. Everybody has stuff they love and hate. And so as soon as they say, well, I'll do whatever you need me to do, to me, that's more of a concern, because of the, like you were talking about, you want to know their strengths and weaknesses, because you want to create a team to complement each other. So if this person hates this, you got to make sure somebody, you want this person on your team, but you got to make sure somebody on your team can fill that need.
Yeah. You know, it's a secret passion of mine. I love databases. I love the busy work of putting in the statistics and the data, and I love spreadsheets, and it's like when people think about hidden pleasures, they think usually about food, or no, just give me a spreadsheet and give me all this data to fill in the boxes, and I love puzzles, and so to me that is a well-spent afternoon if I do 3 or 4 hours filling in boxes on a spreadsheet. I love it.
But yeah, most people would be like, I have a headache after that.
But I know that I would rather pay someone, even though I love it, okay, and it's my hidden pleasure, I know that my time is about creativity and expression and creating that the new PowerPoint to go along with my International Day of the Midwife presentation for, you know, however many midwives are going to show up for a keynote talk. And yes, but sometimes it gets tedious in the sense of I'll put 100 hours into a 1 hour PowerPoint. I'll put 100 hours. And because there's that side of me that is perfectionist, and I'll go back and make sure that all the photographs are the same size, all the fonts are the same, all the, you know, they're all the same size on the headers, on the, you know, and before you know it, you've got 100 hours into it. And God forbid I should, you know, let a spelling error. When I see a spelling error, I just thought, oh my God, it's like a knife in your stomach. And so we have to temper that also with the realism of you can only do what you can only do. And so this period of COVID has been a positive as well as a negative. For a negative, I wasn't able to travel. And like everybody else, midwives on the front line had to go to births. They had to risk their health. They had to risk their family's health. They couldn't just curl up in a corner. And I felt like I was not doing my job at first. And then I thought, well, I can buckle down and I can start teaching on Zoom. And so that's where my direction went. And when I first contacted you, I was like, oh my God, I've got so much to get done here. I need somebody to give me directions, you know, just give me a task, give me an assignment. And then I realized after our discussions that were quite helpful, but I had to be that person that had the discipline to make my daily task sheet with numbers and get it out there.
I think it's just the goal of the midwifery business consultation is just to help whatever people are in. Some people just need redirection. Some people need inspiration. Some people, because you've been running a business for 35 years, you need to fine tune work or redirection. And some people are just brand new. Like you at 1988 is very different than you now. And so I was very happy that you, I mean, my goal is to empower women to do it for themselves. Like I want to just be the little like teaser that ignites the flame or gets them the resources. And so, no, I was very happy. And what you've done the last few months, I would love for you to talk about that business redirection you've done.
Well, I knew that I had to take ownership of the Waterbirth certification courses that I put up a beta test online in June of 2020. And I didn't know how to use Zoom. I just muddled my way through it. I recorded in the middle of the night so I wouldn't have any distractions. And I got the night birds and I got the frogs and people who have taken the course, and it's still up, wrote to me and said, oh, that was such a nice touch. Did you, was that on a recording? No, it was the, it was the frogs in my friggin' front yard pond, you know? And so as humorous as that is, and with very little editing, and there are some times when, you know, at 5 o'clock in the morning when you're finishing up like 4 hours of recording and you're going, what was I talking about? And none of that got edited out.
But so, I think that's what makes it real. And if you don't create things and you don't just get them out there, we're not going to make them perfect. We're not going to. I think people are, you're going to adapt and evolve. Well, if you try to make it so perfect, it'll never get out to the world. So.
And that is the part of the message was that it was the Nike. It was the Nike logo. Just do it. Just get it done. And so your first draft of a business agreement or protocols or you're putting together a book of you want to have directions for every single job description that you're hiring for. Just get it down and let evolution take it. And because you will evolve, you will evolve. And so now I have I own the iMac computer that I borrowed one to do the recording. Now I own one, okay, thanks to a generous donation from a supporter. I own the professional lights and I have the office set up the way I want it. And before I was sitting at my dining room table there's always with business, there's always this process of evolution. So on March 24th through the 27th, I'm hosting a Waterbirth certification course and conference live for the LATAM countries. And LATAM countries are South America, Central America, and the Caribbean nations who speak Spanish. And we we have dummy advertising. We're doing more today. More blips are coming out. And I have a team that I created and am working with in Argentina and Buenos Aires, just an amazing team. We sat around a kitchen table in my friend Susana Rodriguez's house for an entire week, dreaming up what Waterbirth International would look like in Argentina. And this group has, last year or 2019, they took me to hospitals in different locations around Buenos Aires. We went to La Plata. We went to outside of Buenos Aires, in Buenos Aires. We put on a conference for 250 medical students, and that is paying off now because we have advertised on the internet and we've set up the conference, and we already have over 50 people registered, and the majority of them are doctors and midwives who right now can't travel outside of their country. And so I'm going to be doing that more. And so taking this is, and we invited speakers from doctors and midwives in four countries that are doing the work. And we're talking about instituting waterbirth policies in hospitals. And Rodrigo Ibar in Panama is talking about his home birth that he and his wife started. He was a professor of obstetrics in the medical school, and he started a home birth practice. And in Panama, he's going to talk about that. And Samara Ferreira is a midwife. She's in a graduate midwife in the first group of an experimental midwifery program in Mexico. And she's doing an internship in the hospital right now. And she's a home birth midwife. And she puts on her scrubs and goes to the hospital for mothers and babies in Monterrey, Mexico. And that is historic. It's just, it's happening at this moment. And then there's a home birth midwife in Santiago, Chile, Jennifer Sanhueza. And she's coming in to talk about her practice in Chile, where I've been a number of times. And we put on a COVID and water birth seminar in Chile about a month ago, and I think we had 80 people come on the Zoom, and it was perfect. And then the group in Argentina, they got it, and we're having midwives from Sanatorio Otamendi and the hospital in La Plata. And my favorite Argentinian midwife is Florence Hortel, and she's sharing the hands-off water birth that she just has. Oh my gosh, she's done such beautiful work in her hospital, and they're back because they took the COVID restrictions off, and she's back performing and offering couples this and fantastic opportunity. So that conference alone is evolving as well. And out of that is going to come more invitations already. I have invitations from Peru and Colombia, and I've scheduled a trip to Mexico in November to go to the Yucatan, to Merida. And I've been there before. And I absolutely fell in love with the people in that area. And our host is an OBGYN who gets it, and he wants to spread the message. So he's making it a partnership with a medical school and making the course mandatory for medical students. So the hospital will pay part of the fee, and here we go. There is there is no part on the earth at this moment that hasn't been affected by that dream back in 1985.
That's what I was just thinking about. All I keep thinking is the power of vision, the power of owning a business, the power of opportunity. You are one person in 1988 that had an idea, and look what you have done to the world with your vision and your idea. That I just, it's very humbling to me to listen to all the influence and in what you've done.
Well, it's very humbling to me, and I keep a gratitude journal. And the last thoughts that I have before I go to sleep every night, I write down at least three things that I'm grateful for, even if it was a no good, very bad, horrible, shitty fucking day. You know, you have to find something that you're grateful for. And there isn't a day that goes by that I'm not grateful for the things that have taken place in my life and in my path. And if I can't think of anything for that day, I go to the past. And it would take me weeks and weeks and weeks to fill out a gratitude journal page, because I am so grateful for all of the people that I've met on my journey. And my goal is to instruct, but more than that, my goal is to inspire. And because if we can drop a little spark of inspiration, and that's what you did for me, I must tell you, it was like, okay, you offered me all these services, and then I said, you know what? I just have to buckle down and do these myself. And plus, at that time, you know, money was an issue. And that's another piece of my advice to people. Don't let money stand in the way. Because if you start doing your vision, and it is your dream, and it is your passion, the money will follow. I wrote down a little thing the other day. I read the book of Rumi. It's a compilation that somebody gave me when I was in Turkey, because Rumi was an 11th century philosopher, Muslim. He was just an incredible poet. And I was working with a doctor, Ali Haki, and I probably just messed up his name, but he came from Iran to Turkey just to hang out with me for a week. I was working at a hospital on the Asian side of Turkey. They asked me to attend some births and teach their staff how to accommodate water births. And that was in 2004. And so Dr. Ali gave me the entire Rumi lexicon in Persian and English. It's bigger than the Bible. it's so thick. But it was such a treasured gift. And when I'm having a personal dilemma or I'm challenged by something, yes, I turn to Torah. I'm Jewish. I turn to Torah. I get inspiration from those. But occasionally I'll pull out the book of Rumi. And this one came to me. It was about creating sacred space. And it says, beyond right thinking and beyond wrong thinking, there is a field, and I will meet you there. And that is the space. And it started me thinking on this, what we do for couples, and what couples do for their children, and what a business consultant does for the business. You create space. You create the keys that fit into the lock of arriving in that place of sacred space where creativity and ingenuity and hard work all come together. And it's just like parenting, because the mother is one person and the father is another person, and they each have their idiosyncrasies and their primal messages that run their lives. They have their blueprints. And in the space between them, they have their children. And their children are exposed to both blueprints. And if we create that sacred space for our children and try not to give them the things that we took from our childhood that percolate into our self-expression and our self-destruction, then we give our children a chance and a beautiful thing. It's the place where we meet them. It's that, because right thinking or wrong thinking, it doesn't matter. There's a place where that self-expression can flourish. And I truly believe that we all came here and signed an agreement to be in this body at this time. We're spiritual beings seeking a physical experience. And the bottom line of that physical experience is to learn how to let go and be loved. And some people work their whole entire lives and build a mass of fortune, and yet they have not gotten that message yet. And so if you can be kind to yourself, if you can be forgiving of your primal messages, if you can find out what your primal messages are, and that's the other thing that I'm passionate about is Blissborn. Blissborn is the most complete system on the block for having pregnant couples prepare for their birth by using the mind to prepare them in a way that works. It gives them the key to unlock. Just like if you're a business consultant, you have to give them the keys that unlock the doors. You have to have the manual and here's the basics. And Blissborn does that for the mind. And with the childbirth education, here's the system, and you can navigate the system. But first, let's navigate your own mind.
And I do a lot with the clients about the business inspiration and the professional development, because I can hand somebody a business plan and they can have a great idea, but if they don't have the resilience, the leadership, the communication skills, the ups and downs needed for the mindset of this business and the vision to go through the rides of the ups and downs, like, it's just as important as you're talking about a wonderful business idea with a wonderful person to fulfill that business idea.
Mm-hmm. I end every water birth workshop with food for thought. Okay. You've gotten physiology, you've gotten technique, you've gotten ideas and inspiration. And my last five or six slides are, okay, now that you know all this, know and address your own fears. What are you afraid of? It goes back to that first thing that I ask potential employees, what are you not willing to do? What lines do you have that you don't cross? Do you have boundaries? And if somebody doesn't have boundaries, I don't want to hire them. I want someone with boundaries. I want someone that knows their limits. Because I've dealt with this in my own life. Oh, I'll do anything, you know? And I learned that from someone that I worked for. And she took me on as a volunteer. It was an unpaid position, but I wanted to absorb her wisdom. And that was all the way back in the 80s. And her name is Joan Halifax. And she's still a shining example of, she's a Buddhist monk who runs a place called Upaya in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Just an incredible inspiration. But she asked me that very same question. What are you not willing to do? You know, you have a beautiful resume. I was a nurse. I was a pediatric specialist. And we ended up working on a project to take all of these new age psycho-speak workshops and incredible teachers like Ram Dass and the Shakta Tukul Rinpoche and rewrite them into medical ease and get them into the hands of doctors and midwives. And sometimes it's just a matter of semantics. You just have to change the language. And we're going through growing pains right now in the US with talking about pregnant women and other pregnant people. And we don't want to eliminate one group for the sake of another group. So that brilliant idea came, I can talk about other pregnant people at the same time I can talk about pregnant women. Pregnant women and other pregnant people. Simple. Okay, inclusive. The more inclusion we have. And so to take the Book of the Dead, the Tibetan Book of the Dead, and turn it into hospice, to translate it into a language that was understandable, was the key. You know, compassion for living, compassion for dying. That's all that it was about. And so compassion for pregnancy, compassion for parenting, compassion for business. I think the world needs more compassion. And that's what Rumi told me, because we have to create sacred space for somebody to walk into the door of a birth center and go, ah, I feel safe here. That's what sacred space is about. And out of all that, I need one more year at home before I'm flying around the world again, because the birth of The Essential Guide to Waterbirth as a book in book form. And I'm working on a second book project. Actually, it's a third book project, because I participated in a book project that was collaborative out of the United Arab Emirates. It was all expats in that country navigating birth. And it's a great birth. And it's called Birthing with Heart. Um, and it's amazing. Birthing with Heart, the Birth of a Mother. And it was a collaboration by Caridad Sames. And it's a collaboration written by international birth experts that addresses some of the most important but least talked about topics in today's modern birth experience. Topics include birth trauma and loss, mental health and water birth, while also tapping into faith and empowerment. And it's amazing. So I was very happy to collaborate on that project. And I'm collaborating on a project right now that is also 20 authors coming together to tell their experiences from hospital to home, why there is a sudden shift and an increase in the number of women and couples seeking and other pregnant people seeking services of out-of-hospital birth. And we started in the beginning. Now is the time to address those issues and get in front of your state legislature. Get the last holdout states to enact bills that for licensure of certified professional midwives, to the licensure of birth centers, to the licensure of and to end the chokehold that the American Medical Association has on women's bodies. And this is the time. We need legislative efforts on the local, state, and federal levels to address all of those issues. And there are people working tirelessly for the big push, and state after state after state. So this collaborative project, of course, I'm writing a chapter on water birth and out of hospital birth, but I suggested two other chapters that I have to talk to her, and the overall person that is putting this together, Colleen Reagan. And she wrote a very successful book with collaborative effort on VBAC and had it published at the end of 2020. And so I'm sure that this book will get out there as well, because it tells a necessary story. So as soon as that project is in print in May, then I can finish the Essential Guide to Water Birth and get that one done.
Barbara, so, I can't stress enough how much of an inspiration you are. It blows my mind hearing all the wonderful things you're working on, and you figured out this groove of, you're still going to create all those things, but you've made a timeline of what is your unique skills going to be able to get out to the masses. I think it's amazing what you're doing.
Well, help those, you know, get on that track with those beginning midwives that with you and Augustine Colebrook working together, it's genius. Yeah. And just remember, with every person that you work with, to help them create that field of sacred space where they can feel supported and empowered to be their authentic selves.
Well, thank you so much, Barbara. I think this will be a perfect place for us to end. It's been 45 minutes, and I said I was going to be respectful of your time. So thank you so much. And I would love to, in maybe 3 to 6 months, follow up with you on how your conference went, how your projects are going. And you're such an inspiration. I'm sure I'm going to get lots of comments of wonderful requests to get you on sooner than that.
Okay. Take care. God bless.
Bye-bye.
And be well.